Welcome to Motivated to Lead Podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us again this week for our podcast. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons from their career. This week, we're going to be focusing on the subject of building your personal brand. We have as our guest, Jan Molino, who is the president and CEO of Aspire Ascend. And she has a background in working with boards as well as women executives. And she has some great thoughts she's going to share today and lessons learned in her career. Looking forward to our conversation with Jan. Can you, first off, give us just a little bit of an overview of your career and a little bit of your history?
Sure. Thank you, Mark. And I'm very excited to be here.
Great.
I spent my early career in healthcare, actually, as a marketing and communications executive in two international healthcare systems. And then from there, I went to 16 years in executive search, where I placed over 300 executives and on board directors.
Well, tell me a little bit about, I know you do a lot of work with women who are executives, and you've done a lot of board work. And tell us a little bit as far as kind of the lessons that you've learned over your career. What advice would you give yourself, knowing what you know now, if you were to go back to a 22-year-old self?
Goodness, right. I know, right? You know, during my executive search years, just to preface this a little bit, women were my most difficult candidates, and they didn't always want to show all the confidence that they had in the position, which was the impetus to starting Aspire Ascend. So we work on executive women only. So this is a great topic for me. You know, as a 22-year-old, I would have to tell you that I wish somebody would have told me how to build a personal brand. Mm. It's important not just to build a career, but to build a brand. And I've learned recently that 92% of children under the age of two already have a digital footprint. So the question no longer is if you have a personal brand, it's how do you cultivate it and how do you grow it, or are you going to let somebody else define it for you?
Yeah.
So you really do need to start thinking of yourself as a brand, and I wish somebody would have told me that very early on in my career.
Is there any advice that you received when you were in your 20s early that you wish you would have ignored?
Yes. I can remember very vividly in healthcare, and to this day, there's still, you know, men at the top, is that a woman would never be a CEO, would not make it to the top of their career. And as I said to you, I came up in the hospital system, and I was actually blessed to have a woman CEO who ended up being my sponsor, which I didn't even know what that meant at the time. And she actually took me and my career and helped me develop it, and she helped me develop my personal brand. So to this day, what she taught me is what I pass along to other women, and that a strong personal brand will yield tremendous return on your investment, whether you're working in the organization or whether you're leading it. Mm.
So talk a little bit about that. How? What advice do you give someone who is building that brand, and kind of walk us through kind of your thoughts on that?
You know, investing in your personal brand enhances your most valuable asset, which is you. So let me just share with you a couple ways to help you with your personal brand. First of all, you have to think of yourself as your brand and become an expert, become known as an expert in a particular area, because you can't do everything. So you need to develop that expertise, and that becomes your brand. And not only do people want to know about your professional self, but they also want you to insert your personality into. So, you know, don't be afraid to inject your personality into your brand. The other thing is that as you try to brand yourself, you need to find your unique value proposition. You know, what are those unique assets that set you apart from other people? The other pieces are developing a presence online. You need to have that presence, whether it's a website or a blog, like what you're doing with podcasts. But you can use multiple platforms, but you need to make sure your branded content is what people find out about you on Google. Not bad things. It's all about your branded content.
Sure.
And I think the other way to do this is through networking, and you need to generate brand awareness through your networking and by connecting with the right people. And when I say that by meaning that you need to connect with people that are higher than you to start to develop this power network. So the best way to become known in your industry is to start connecting with people more powerful than yourself. And then you need to measure your brand. How do people introduce you? Do they introduce you in a certain way? And the truth to measuring your brand is as important as your reputation, you know, is as important as how your reputation is perceived by others. So your unique brand differentiates you from others, what they have to offer. So if you did a Google test, it would be interesting to see if your branded content comes up about you versus your social life, so to speak.
Sure.
And then last but not least are the three C's, which are clarity, consistency, and constancy. So you need to be your authentic self. You need to express your brand across multiple communications channels, and you need to remain visible to your target audience, which is obviously, you know, why I do a lot of writing and I do a lot of public speaking as well.
Take us back to when you first started working on your brand. What were some of the first things that you did to increase your visibility as well as to communicate kind of who you were?
Well, like I said, the first thing is that I started to develop a much broader, more powerful networking group. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I started to do, two things actually, was I started to write about my expertise area, which is women in leadership, gender equity, and gender parity. So that's what I'm known for. And it's interesting that you ask that, because I had this reputation from executive search for 16 years. And it took me almost 18 months to turn that brand around into women's leadership, specifically with executive women. But I did that through writing, consistently writing on my brand, and also doing public speaking on those very same topics.
There's a lot of noise around kind of the digital side of things, that there's so many different podcasts and blogs and things that are out there. You know, going back to kind of how to stand out amongst, you know, a lot of different voices that are out there, any advice around that as far as that, you know, kind of, again, some of the things that you've laid as a foundation, but anything else that you think would be helpful?
Well, I think you need to do a lot of research. You need to know the right places to go to. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a lot of noise. And so I actually do a lot of research before I do my writing or before I go to events, power networking, or when I do public speaking. I want to be in the events and the venues where I'm going to add as much value as to them as it's going to add to me. You know, just going and speaking all over doesn't do anything for me. But for example, I just spoke to the women and physicians, chest surgeons, and they were all women, and I keynoted the women's event, their lunch. And so we spoke about how these young women, from the moment they get out of school, are already 90,000 behind their male counterparts. Mm. And it's because they didn't brand themselves and they don't know how to negotiate. So whole nother subject there.
Go back and talk a little bit about the mentors that that have helped you in your career and kind of poured into your life. You mentioned the one CEO that was instrumental as far as kind of helping you develop that that confidence and that.
Yeah, I've had a lot of mentors in my life, and most of them were men, quite frankly, because I was in a male-dominated field. But I was very fortunate that my CEO was a woman and that she took me under her wing, literally. The very first day I met her in Chicago, when I was her new vice president of communications, she gets me into the car and she drives me to a meeting and she walked me around the room and introduced me to everybody. And then she left me there to continue the conversation. So she actually moved my career.
So for somebody that's starting out and they're, you know, they've got maybe some people that that they admire, that they would love to have as mentors. And I know that mentors can come in a lot of different forms. It can come from afar, people that you read and learn mm-hmm. from, as far as in also those personal connections. Were you pretty intentional about that as far as kind of how you set up those relationships, or did they just kind of develop?
No, I was very intentional, quite frankly. I knew exactly, as I said from my research, who I wanted to meet and what I was kind of value I could add to them, because this really wasn't just about what they would do for me. It was whatever I could do back for them. But I think the important piece here is that whether it's intentional or by accident, you need to be prepared for those situations, and you need to know what your unique value proposition is so that people understand where you're coming from. So if you're standing there and you're handing out business cards and not saying anything about it, mm-hmm. it really is a worthless meeting.
Yeah. So Jan, you've seen a lot of teams being built over the years, and as new leaders, that's one of the things they sometimes inherit a team. What advice would you give somebody coming in to maybe lead their first team and things that would be helpful to them?
Thank you. That's a great question. In fact, I just finished coaching a brand new CEO for the past year in her first year. And one of the first mistakes that she wanted to make was to fire everybody. And so we had a very long conversation on that. And I just said to her, I said, you need to hire leaders who will excel in differences in different areas than what you do. So, you know, the old saying, hire people that are smarter than you, but that's not necessarily the truth. You need to hire people who are going to fill in the areas that you don't have expertise in. And don't be afraid of leaders who bring more expertise to the table than you. They are there to make you look good. So that's exactly what I told my new CEO for the first year. And she enjoyed it. She had a fantastic first year. So I would just say, give your new people that you surround yourself with the ability to succeed by providing them with a playing field that matches their skills, and they will help you become a better team and a leader.
What books do you put kind of at the top of your recommended reading for leaders that you work with?
Well, you know, there are two books that I really love. One is called Brag, B-R-A-G, The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn Without Blowing It, and it's by Peggy Klaus.
Okay.
And this is a book about how women need to learn how to brag about themselves and show confidence, which we don't do very well. And because we're taught as little girls that, you know, you don't brag, you're very quiet, you don't do these things, and men can get away with it. So we need to learn how to speak and to network just like men do. So Brag is a great book. She shows you, it's a book about this thick, and quite frankly, it's a very fast read and it's funny, and you're going to learn so much from it. The other one that I love is by Amy Cuddy, which is Presence, which is about bringing your boldest self to your biggest challenges. And it's all about how you come across to people in executive presence. So those are two important pieces. One is learning how to speak with confidence, and then your whole entire executive presence just changes. So I think those are two books that I have consistently recommended throughout my career.
Talking about getting that confidence, you've done a lot of speaking over the years, and that's probably one of the greatest fears that people have. And I've heard, you know, a lot of times it's what makes you stand out, being able to get in front of a room and be able to present in a way that's clear, as well as in having confidence. What somebody that's doing that for the first time, any tips that you give?
Yes, be yourself. And really, honestly, talk about subjects that you know about. Don't get pulled into subjects that you know nothing about. But I think the bigger part is, and what I've learned is to tell a story. So when I get up to do public speaking, I start with stories about what happened in my life and how I got there or whatever the subject is. Because I want to get the audience involved in the conversation. So once you open up with stories, people want to hear about what's happening. They want to know about you. And most of my speeches are about 20, 30 minutes long, but recently I was asked to go through a speaker's class, and I went, well, why would I need to do that? I already do public speaking. They said, oh, just try it. So these are 2 and 3 minute speeches, and I never realized how much you could get across in 2 minutes. And what I learned was that I have entertaining speeches now to my repertoire.
Great. Yeah, and I've found that the shorter the speech, the harder it is. It's harder to prepare for a couple minute talk versus longer, just because you have to sum it up and make sure you hit the key points.
You know, the funny part is the classes were every Tuesday for 8 weeks. Sunday nights, I was just like in terror writing 2-minute speeches.
Yeah, absolutely.
So outside of work, what do you do to recharge? What are some things that your interests?
Yeah, well, I'm known for my cooking, so I love to cook, and I also love yoga. So it's a very intentional, both pieces kind of de-stress me. And interesting, I just spoke about that the other day, about how cooking was a de-stressor for me. It just puts me in another place, and it allows me to, quite frankly, be in control of the room and the situation, and my family loves the meal, so I'm all good with it.
Good. So what's your signature dish? Anything that...
Yes, it is lasagna.
Okay.
And it is amazing.
Well, that, it's definitely, my wife is a great cook, so I always need to watch my intake, so.
Yeah, that's the yoga and the gym.
That's right. How would someone learn kind of about what you're doing and working on?
So you can go to my website, which is www.aspire-ascend. I also write in LinkedIn, so please link in with me at LinkedIn, both as Jan Molino and as Aspire Ascend. I'm also on Facebook, and as I said, I do a lot of public speaking, so I'm pretty sure that if you did a Google search, you'll find me.
Great. What parting advice would you give a leader?
So I would probably say your network makes your net worth work. So today's marketplace, as we just discussed, is very, very busy. So if you don't find the right network and make it work for you, as well as you give back to them, it really is very important to the, not only to your return on investment of what you're doing, but it can help your company grow as well.
Great. Well, thanks, Jan. This has been a lot of fun, and definitely your insights have been, I know, beneficial to people that are listening.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.